this pursuit of expectation. This will be the pursuit of expectation, part 22. I know it sounds a little monotonous, I guess. Depends on how you look at it. We've been following Elisha and Elijah on their journey from Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho, across the Jordan and back. And I hope you'll stay with me on this journey. The reason it takes so long is, you know, Morgan, she started reading books, started reading all these books. And, you know, you can watch the movie where you read the book. Well, you know, most people go watch the movie. You know why? There's no effort. It's easy. But the book is where the details is at. That's where the real story's at. So, most Christians, they want the movie. I'm saved, sanctified, going to heaven, now leave me alone. I want to hear about a God of grace, because really the reason I want a God of grace means so that I don't really want to read and study, and I'm just going to claim grace. Yeah, I'm just telling you the truth, guys. I want a God of grace, and I'm going to claim grace to get me out of responsibility. I mean, really. That's what we do as Christians. And guys, responsibility, you can't force responsibility, but responsibility comes in growing up, you know? You know, I think about dumb things sometimes. Growing up, I was the yard mower, you know? After a while, you know, when you're 8, man, you can't wait to mow the yard. When you're 15, you despise it. What's the difference? Really, I mean, you just want to push that lawnmower. You're out there trying to root them out, push that lawnmower. The handle's taller than you are, you know. You're trying to push the lawnmower. When you get 15, you hate it. But then when you get a place of your own, unless you get some goats, somebody's got to mow the yard. But, you see, it's just a responsibility thing that comes on. And I've been on this 22 lessons here. We're just now looking at Jericho. We're going to be here. I think Bethel, I mean, when I say I loved, you know, last week, I think we got to really see some things last week in Bethel. It came to its fulfillment. We're going to do that with Jericho. We got to look at these details. Everything in his scriptures, every word, every detail has been preserved by the Holy Spirit, handed down to you. It's a great privilege. And you know what this is? Our Father is wanting to reveal this to you in the fulfillment of his Son. Amen. I mean, we look at this tabernacle, this thing that's over here, and you know, we got these pictures and we look at all of this and we begin to study. We say, well, that's Old Testament. Well, this is testimony. But you got to understand that this brass altar in every detail and see the fulfillment in Jesus Christ. I mean, you've got to do that. You just can't, well, that's the altar. That's where Jesus died. Oh, well. I mean, this thing was so meticulous when it was handed down to Moses. How big it was? Does anybody know how big it was? Do you think Moses could make it 1 centimeter bigger than what the Lord said? Because it was to be a type and shadow of the testimony of Jesus Christ. He didn't want this thing just thrown together. And let me tell you something, big guy. He didn't want you to put wood on there just in any order. It was a special wood laid in order on the altar. Why? Because even the wood was to be a testimony. The fire was to be a testimony. The grate was to be a testimony. Even how they took the ashes out and where they put them was to be a testimony of Jesus Christ. Every detail. That's why we spend so long. I used to have this Bible, probably still do at home, and it's a study Bible. It's King James Study Bible. And in the beginning of it, it says, how that you can read the Bible in a year. And if you'll read this, and it goes through these progression steps. And I'm not against reading, guys. I'm a big proponent. I want you to read. And, you know, I think everybody should just read through the scriptures probably twice, front to back. This beginning to start reading Genesis and go through Revelation. When you get done, go right back and read Genesis to Revelation. Then forget everything you knew and then start again. This time governed by the Holy Spirit, because you need to have something in there that, because the Lord will start bringing it back to you. He'll start bringing it back. You're like, I read that somewhere. I don't know where. Nahum, is that even a book? Micaiah, I don't know. You know, I know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Genesis, Exodus, you know, Samuel, where the good stories are. But these other things, you know. So it's important here. Let me read some scriptures here. I'm going to be in 2 Kings chapter 2. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Remember, I told you in the very beginning, the journey doesn't start for a Christian until you get to Gilgal. The real journey. Now, yes, we come out of Egypt. And I want you to understand, guys, what I'm talking about is not physical locations. Because you know what? I've never been to Egypt. I guess to me, it would be I come out of Baptist Valley or Crocker Hollow, you know. Ain't got nothing to do with it. Location ain't got nothing to do with it. It's understanding. That's what I'm talking about. Understanding. When you come out of one understanding into another understanding. You come out of the understanding of Egypt, of bondage, into the understanding and the liberty of the Holy Spirit. The journey begins at Gilgal. Remember I told you what Gilgal was. Gilgal was circumcision. Gilgal is the putting away of the old man. And understand that Gilgal is in this land, in this promised land here. Elisha said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. I remember what Elijah is telling him. They're at Gilgal, they're getting ready to journey. He looks at Elisha and says, you stay here, big guy. I'm going on. Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. See, but what about this obedience thing? You see, we don't understand obedience. So here's Elijah, the prophet, telling Elisha to stay here. Now, a bunch of little bitty not understanding Christians would have said, hey, I'm being obedient. I'm going to stay right here. See you when you get back. But Elisha knows something here, don't he? He said, as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Now, can you imagine? See how the Lord will do that sometimes in your heart and in your soul. He will challenge you. He will just challenge you to see. I'm just telling you guys. He really will. As my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. In other words, he says, it's all right. It's all right, Elisha. You can stay here. I'm a God of grace. You don't have to come on. You can stay here in this lesser realm if you want to. You can be a baby all you want to. I'll give you Snickers bars every day if that's what you want. There's something big over here if you really want it. Or you can stay here. Choice is yours. I give you that choice. The Lord is not grabbing people by the hair of the head saying, come follow me. You don't have to. So they went down to Bethel. The sons of the prophet that were there at Bethel came forth to Elijah and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. So they leave Gilgal. They go to Bethel. They meet the sons of the prophets there. These people who have stopped in Gilgal, they stopped in Bethel. You know, the sons of the prophets, good religion there, good doctrine there, good denominations in all these cities. Elisha said to him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. Got another place to go. Elisha challenged, every time Elijah said, stay here. You can stay here. For the Lord has sent me on. I got to go leave Bethel. Now I got to go to Jericho. Remember I told you that each one of these was a judgment? Gilgal was a judgment. Bethel was a judgment. Jericho, I wonder what Jericho is going to be. Because each one of these, when I say a judgment, guys, we got in our minds, judgment to us is what? Right and wrong. Books was open. Clyde, I know what you done in 74. Ooh, big black mark right here. Lena, 75 was a bad year for you. Right? Books is open. Judge, right or wrong, right? That's our whole Christian mindset. This is not this judgment. This is the judgment or the discernment between what is Christ and what is not Christ. That's the judgment, guys. Because everything that's not Christ must be what? Done away. That he be the fullness of it. You see what I mean? So each one of these cities is a judgment, a discernment, an understanding, a growth, that we might grow up into him in all things. But there's a following on. Now, why is Elisha following Elijah for? Now, remember, I told you in the beginning, Elisha is a type of the church. That's who Elisha is representing here. And we went through in all these details about Elisha and what the church really is. So what this is a type of the church following. They're called into something, but called into what? Follow unto know the Lord. What are we called unto? What are we called unto? Let's go look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We are called unto something. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. What are you called unto? Are you called unto the fellowship? But let's look real close here, guys. Fellowship of what? Isn't that what we call our churches? Our ministries, our whatever, fellowship. We got fellowship halls. What does fellowship mean? It means this is the place where everybody goes that believes the same and gets along. That's why we got 4,700,000 different fellowships. That ain't the fellowship you've been called to. You've been called to the fellowship of his dear son. And everything that is not of that fellowship is judged, carried out and done away. Would Paul right here, does he not just go on and say, brethren, there's divisions among you. Why is there divisions among you? Back then you couldn't go over here to the Baptist church and across the street to the Lutheran church, over here to the Methodist church and here to the Presbyterian. There's only one church. But they started divvying it up right out of the gate. They did. They started divvying it up. Well, we believe this. We believe this. We believe this. And what's it do, guys? Divides. This ain't about what you believe. This ain't got nothing to do with what you believe. That's why, if you want to believe that, you can stay down in Gilgal. Or you can stay over in Bethel. Or you can stay in Jericho. Or you can follow on to know the Lord. Now, every believer has been called unto this fellowship. Everyone, every believer is called unto this fellowship. But how many follow on to know the Lord? So what we do is we find us a fellowship where we feel comfortable, where there's not too much demands on me, fits my lifestyle, I'll stay there. And the Lord said, that's okay. Elisha, you can stay there if you want to. It's all right. You can stay right there. There's sons of the prophets right there. Or you can follow on to know the Lord. You know what fellowship is? I looked this up in the Strong's last night. I give you their definition. It means partnership. But let me go a step farther. It means participation. And a little step farther, it means communion. But now let's be careful here. Let's be careful. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. All right? So we're called into the fellowship of the Son. All right? We just throw that out there real quick. We're called into the fellowship of the Son. That means, so what that means to us is me and Jesus got our own thing going. I'm called into Jesus' fellowship, and Jesus is saying, thank God Clyde finally showed up. Now I can have fellowship. Now, wait a minute. Does this not mean that Jesus does not have fellowship until Clyde shows up? I mean, this was kind of put Jesus in a pickle, wasn't it? Because now he's up there thinking, my God, is anybody going to have fellowship with me? I don't know. I'm doing the best I can. I'm trying to win them over. Right? It makes it look like Jesus has still got to do something, some anticipation, a lot of anxiety involved because he really wants to fellowship. I mean, that's the way it's preached, isn't it? Come and join our fellowship. Give them the right hand of fellowship into our way of doing things, right? So who does the Son fellowship? We're called into this thing. God is faithful by whom you're called. This is a calling that Elisha is following Elijah, who, if Elisha's the church, who is Elijah? It's got to be Christ. You know, let me take a little side note. You know, I always give y'all a free section. It's somewhere in the sermon message, there's a free part. Most of the times, this is the free part. You know, things just get on my mind. So here we got Abraham and Isaac. And we want to preach obedience about, you know, got to be obedient. So Abraham does what? You know the story. I mean, everybody knows that. He's obedient, right? God tell him, go kill your son. All right, I'm going to take him up there on the mountain. I'm going to lay him out. Cut his throat. A good soldier. You know, because faith without works is dead. By faith, Abraham was justified before God. So now, Abraham, God, you tell me to punch Zach in the eye, and I'm going to do it. Just really, just hint around at it, you know, because it's getting on the nerves a little bit. Anyway, I just said, well, Zach's paying attention back there. Right? He looked up. But you see what I mean? So now we put ourselves in the scriptures, right? So now, if one of them had to be offered, and Isaac was offered. So here's an easy question. Who did Isaac represent? Did Isaac represent Christ? Okay. So if Isaac is Christ, who is Isaac's father? But who is Isaac's father? Abraham. So why did we jump in the scriptures and put ourselves to be the father of Jesus? Because that's what we always do. We always put ourselves right slap dab in the middle, and now it's all up to my obedience. I'm the one who has to offer up Jesus. So if Jesus here is Isaac, who is Abraham? He would have to be the Heavenly Father, would he not? And did he not do that? So where is my obedience at? Oh, so now that kind of changes things up. I can't put myself into the middle of this temple and set myself up because I see something going on with a fellowship here between a father and a son. You see what I mean? Something that's going on here between them two that maybe I want to participate in. I can't add to it. I can't take away from it. But I can partnership. I can communion of that. So I always think when people start preaching to me out of the book of James about faith and works and obedience and Abraham and all this other stuff, I just, in my mind, I'm thinking, so you're the father of the Lord, huh? You begat him, I guess, because if we stay in type and shadow, that's where we would have to bring that to, wouldn't we? We would have to bring it to, I am the father of the seed. There's no other way you could do it. But that was between the Father and the Son. All right, Ephesians. See why we take so long and we go into details. Now we're back on the paid portion. Ephesians chapter 3. We're looking at this fellowship here. Now, listen to this. Ephesians 3:3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. As I wrote afore in a few words. Now, you see, when I say we go back and look at these scriptures real slow, how did he make known to Paul? Paul wrote this book. How did he make known to him the mystery? By revelation. By revelation. And Paul tells us what that revelation is, by revelation of his Son. And then he says, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. When you read this letter, that's what he's saying. When you hear, he says, here, guys, God revealed this to me, the mystery of Christ. Because, guys, they didn't have the, Paul didn't read the book of Ephesians. He wrote it. What Paul read was Isaiah and Exodus and Leviticus. And God revealed his Son to Paul in those scriptures in Paul. And Paul said he this was a mystery because Christ was concealed, but when God began to open him up, I began to see Christ everywhere. And this, it's all about him. I see him as the fulfillment of it. And he says, now when you read that you may understand this mystery that was given to me, how? By the revelation of Jesus Christ. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets, how? By the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body. This is important, guys, because that's why we spent 17 weeks at Bethel to get a view of this one body. Not a body of Jews and not a body of Gentiles, but of this same body, this one body. And partakers of his promise in Christ. How do you have communion in this? By the gospel. Whereof, Paul says, I was made a minister. You know, we went over this Wednesday night. I was made a minister. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, he says, Seeing then that we have this ministry. So we were looking at what this ministry is. What is this ministry? This ministry means I'm called to be a preacher. And I read the Bible every day and I write sermons and give y'all messages and tell y'all them good things. That's not what Paul is saying here. Seeing then that we have this ministry. What is the ministry? Go back. Because when the scriptures were wrote, they weren't chapters and verses. He wrote it as a letter. So the sentence before says, but we all. I wonder how many all includes, but we all. This is all the believers, but we all the ones that he's writing to, all the ones that he's believing on. But we all with open face beholding. What ministry? Let me just say it this way. It's the ministry of beholding. Paul says, this is the ministry I have that was given to me. How was it given to me? By revelation. God revealed his Son, and I beheld him. And I told you what beheld means. Behold means to set your gaze upon, set your heart upon, set your affection upon. Determine, I know nothing save Jesus Christ and him crucified. My whole heart is set, because he will challenge you and say, you may stay here, but where is your heart? Are you going to follow on to know the Lord? See, we have this ministry. Look at verse 9. Now here's Paul's desire. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Now we've been talking about this fellowship that you've been called unto. To see what is this. Which from the beginning of the world hath been hid. Now where is it hid at? In God who created all things by Jesus Christ. That's why, guys, they were looking in this temple. Do you realize that they had in their scriptures, and I can show you in there that it says that Elijah would come. Right? Elijah would come and what? Make straight to pass. Well, they seen Elijah. Elijah is following him. They're thinking, because he gets taken up in a whirlwind. So what are they doing? They're waiting on Elijah to come back. Because as soon as Elijah gets back, he is going to make way for the Lord. And he's going to come and start prophesying. Now, I can show you right in your own King James Bible, if you can receive it, that John the Baptist, this is Elijah. It's right in your King James Bible. So here they are looking, and he says, if you can hear it. Now, what is that? That's a challenge to you, and if you can hear it. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it to this day. Why? It was hidden. And we talked about this before service. It was hidden, but why? Because the God of this world has blinded the eyes of them. What do you mean, the God of this world? They have set their affections on everything else but Him. Now, wait a minute. Not everybody in here likes football. Guys, let me tell you something. Anything that you have your heart on that's not Jesus Christ will blind you. Anything. That's the subtleties of it. Even if it's a good thing. Well, my mind is to go visit the sick. We would say that's a good thing. And that can be, that will still blind your mind. It will, guys. Well, my desire is to give all I've got to the poor. So everything I get, I'm going to give. That will still blind you. Because this is about seeing Him. It ain't about doing good things or bad things or refraining. It is setting your affection on Him. Now listen, guys. I don't want to throw this out there as this obedience thing. But let me just tell you something, guys. If you have ever saw Him one glimpse, He will steal your heart away. I always think the Lord ain't a thief. He's a thief. He'll steal your heart. He'll steal your soul right away. Just one glimpse of His beauty, if you want to look at it like that. I think about a guy walking down and seeing that girl of his dreams, and boom, what is it? He's done for. She done stole his heart. You see? Look at verse 18. That you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know what? The love of Christ which passeth knowledge. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. My Lord and my God, haven't we not been talking about that at Bethel? That you might be filled with all the fullness of God now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask. There's another little two words in here. Or think. Man, I don't know if people get this stuff. When I look at this stuff, I think, my God, you know, do we not go to the Lord with our little baby prayers? And sometimes we'll get real rambunctious and we'll get real big in our prayers. You know, I'm over here thinking, you know, Lord, if it could be your will, could you help Tim? You know, Lord Jesus, and just, and then I, you know, the Holy Spirit comes on, and I'm thinking, not just Tim, but his whole family. Not just his whole family, but Russell County. not just Russell County, but Southwest Virginia. What up, this Virginia? You see, and we go on. But this is more than what you can even think. So you don't even want to. God heal everybody in the whole world. See, but this is even more than what you can even think. You know? So don't be trying to impress us with God and come up in there showing off your faith. Don't we? Remember this mystery had been hidden? I wonder why it was hidden. The scripture says, even to this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Now right here, guys, right here is where this veil was. This veil did what? Veiled the glory of God. Go read Hebrews and you'll say, when Jesus died, what happened? The veil was rent from top to bottom. They looked right into the temple they were looking for. And when they looked into that temple, they seen it was empty. And the Hebrews will tell you that the veil is his flesh. You're not going to see the glory of God by seeing Jesus after the flesh. You never are. That's why he would challenge them and say, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who do you say that I am? Oh, thou art Christ. Well, flesh and blood, seeing me like this, did reveal this to you. This revelation must have come from my Father. Same thing today. Now, let's just flip over here to 1 John here real quick, because we're looking at this fellowship. 1st Epistle of John, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, we have seen it, bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us, that which we have seen. Now guys, if you haven't seen nothing, you've got nothing to declare. That which we have seen, not only that, but have heard, declare we unto you. Why are we doing this? That you may also have fellowship with us. Oh, yeah. And what is that fellowship? And truly, here is the true fellowship. Our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. You see, guys, I don't know if you can get this picture in your head, but here is the Father and the Son in their fellowship. Now, is not the Son the one in whom the Father is well pleased? Is not their perfect love there, relationship, everything there in that? But we are called unto that fellowship. You see, we're called unto that fellowship right there. Now, if the fellowship is between me and Jesus, then what happens when I ain't feeling too good? What happens when I just walk away? The fellowship is broken, is it not? But this fellowship is unbreakable. It is anchored. I can't do anything but participate in it. And then it doesn't matter what I bring into it, as far as my bad moods or whatever, I'm still coming to have communion in this fellowship. This fellowship that is always in existence. This fellowship that I don't have to call on Jesus, who's way far away, and say, Jesus, I'm really lonely. Can you come and spend time with me? Oh, yeah, I'll be right there. But I'm over here with Clyde right now. As soon as I get done with Clyde, I'll be over there. You see what I mean, guys? I mean, this is a fellowship that we're all called to. Every one of us right here. And all around, we're called to this fellowship. Now, if we're all called to this fellowship, it just makes mathematical, geographical sense that this fellowship between the Father and the Son is going to be the central point of the whole thing. And we're all going to be gathered around. Of course, you can go read the book of Revelation and you can see where the 24 elders and all those are. They're all what? Gathered around. that fellowship. We're called into this fellowship. I wonder why we're called into this fellowship. Because God is faithful. We read that back over in Corinthians, didn't we? God is faithful who has called us. Now listen, He's called every believer. Every believer. Now, we know this, not every believer is heeded. That call, certainly not every believer has entered into the reality of this fellowship or experiencing the fellowship of the Son through understanding. Now, listen, I told you this is about revelation. Revelation, the revelation of the Son. Now, upon this revelation, here's what happens. This character and the nature of Christ is deposited. You're changed into that same image. Now listen. I'm trying to think how to word this here. The nature and character of Christ, which is stated in His name. What do you mean, stated in His name? Did you know in His name, Jesus Christ, Lord, is a threefold character of Jesus Christ. I mean, Jesus Christ the Lord is not where He got His mail. Jesus Christ, where do I send this letter to? Lord, over here, P.O. Box 114. That is the way you must know Him. Jesus Christ the Lord. It must be in that order. It must be in the order of Gilgal, Bethel, and Jericho. God is a God of order, and you cannot skip the order. You cannot run in and learn about the tables of showbread without first coming to the altar. You cannot learn about the laver without first coming to the altar. You cannot see God in His glory without first passing up through by the altar of incense and the veil. You cannot do it. So you must know Him as Jesus first. Now, what is the nature and character of that name? Jesus. I don't know if you guys ever think about this stuff, but this is meticulous. I told you, that's why we stay so long at a certain lesson. You got to know Him as Jesus. Then you got to know Him as Christ. Then you got to know Him as Lord. Now, there's a whole lot of people running around saying, Lord, 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 is there not? And what does He say? There's a lot of people saying, Lord, Lord. But their hearts are far from Me. So what do? We blame everybody else. But that's never us, is it? That's never us. But yet, are we following on to know the Lord? No, because the Lord told me to stay here in Gilgal. So I'm here in Gilgal being obedient. See what I mean? Being obedient. You remember I told you? I mean, this nature, Jesus Christ the Lord, which is the name of the Son. It's the name of the Son. And we got to understand this nature. And this nature that is revealed. And we're changed into that same image. How? By what? This ministry, which is what? Beholding. Let me go back here and show you something here. Go back to Ephesians chapter 3. 16, 17, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit whereat in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, then we go, well, maybe able to comprehend. I mean, how do we experience this fellowship? How do we experience His fellowship? By knowing Him. By having His Son revealed in us, as we have the Son revealed in us, we bear His name. We bear His name. Now, go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Now, I told you there was an order, and you first must know Jesus in this order. You must know him as Jesus. Why is that specifically important to know him as Jesus? Look at verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Let me go back and read this. I don't know if people understand this. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Why? That the body of sin might be preserved and washed and cleaned up. I don't know if you guys are looking in your Bible, but that word says destroyed. That henceforth, y'all know what henceforth means. That means from now on, we should not serve sin. For he that is alive, blood washed, sanctified, redeemed, blood bought, baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is freed from sin. See, y'all ain't looking at your Bibles. It says, he that is dead. Now, how are we dead? The old man is crucified with him. Is what? Freed from sin. Now, if you be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. But first there must be death. And that's the cross. Knowing that Christ raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him, for in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God. Now, back in this verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, for what purpose? That the body of sin might be destroyed. Remember, I told you this is all about knowing him as Jesus. Let's just go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into this world, he saith, now this is speaking of Jesus, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. A body for what? What was the body for? So he could run around and make ankle bones straight? This body, we just read about it right back over here in Romans. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. He had a body that was prepared, and this body had a name, and this name was Jesus. And this body was for the destruction of sin. Now, I got to ask you, did he get it done? Yeah, I mean, did he get it done, guys? Did that body do the job? And now what's he tell you is, likewise, reckon yourselves also to be what? Dead. If you don't know him as Jesus, see, we want to skip over here to the lollipops and rainbows, over here into La La Land, into Resurrection Land, and jump around and claim eternal life. You must first know him as Jesus, or there's no freedom. You'll come over here and say, Jesus dwells in me, now I must do this, I must do that, I've got to do that, I've got to be obedient. And what did you do? You came right back into bondage. Paul knew that. Paul said, should we sin more that grace may abound? God forbid. He that is dead is freed from sin. And then what did Jesus say? You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. What is the truth? This body that he came here as Jesus is dead, and if you, when this nature is worked in you, you're dead also unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus. You're called unto this fellowship. I don't know if you understand this or not, but you got to know. That's why we're so meticulous. I'm telling you what, guys, when this first hit me, I was in a railroad vehicle driving from Charlotte to Columbia. And when this hit me, really, Clyde almost wrecked my truck. I've heard every sermon that you could preach for every preacher that's been around. I've got a whole crate of CDs that I, you can have them if you want. No, I wouldn't give them away. I don't want to put that off on nobody. I load them up, put them out in the building. I need to take them out back and bury them. Burn them before somebody else gets their hands on them. But when this came to me, really, I almost wrecked my truck. I thought, my God. And let me tell you the logic that I had in that. Here's another free part. And I've told you this before, but I'll just go over it again. Let's just say that I'll use Clyde. And let's say that Clyde, he's like God. And me, I'm just a little P8 that always messes up. And I messed up really, really bad. And Clyde gave me $10 million to get me out of trouble. And I didn't use the money to get out of trouble. I thought, hey, party time. I took the money and went on some big worldwide trips and cruises and messed up even more. So now I'm out here at Walmart's and I see Clyde popping around the corner. What do you think? Oh, yeah, Clyde says, don't worry about it. You don't even have to pay me back. You think I'm going to go down that row and see old Clyde? I ain't going to shop Walmart's no more. Right? Because I know that he did something for me, and I still didn't walk in it. I didn't live up to the expectations, so I'm still avoiding. Now, we got a whole Christian world who somebody up here is preaching, you got to be thankful, you got to look at what the God has did to you, and if you don't live up to these expectations, so what happens to everybody? It's a great big bondage again. So you got people out here in the world, they come into a church, and they get more bondage put on them, and they say, heck with that. Well, it's hard enough. I'll just take my chances out there. Because when I come in here, I can never live up to those standards. So then we preach grace. So what do we do with grace? It's just like the educational system. We don't bring kids up to education. We lower the standards. You know, I mean, that's what we do, guys. These SOLs, that ain't bringing stuff up. That's lowering the standards. You know, that's what we got to do. It's what we do. You know, we look at parking lots. What we do, we see a big old empty parking lot. So how do we fix it? Put up some more buildings out there and make the parking lot small. You see what I'm talking about, guys? But when I seen that, because I realized that I had no way to pay this debt back. There was no way. And you know, me being a guy, if you loan me $20, I mean, you loan me $20, and I had to bum $20 off Tracy to pay you back. And there's something about it here about me not saving face. You know, I'm just telling you the truth, guys. There's some pride thing or whatever you want to call it in me. And I'm thinking, well, how can this be to where I can participate in this fellowship? Because I have got to some way or another, you know, make a stand or what, you know, I just couldn't. But when I seen that this body, because the Lord knew too, and you know what the Lord says? He says, you know what, Clyde? You can never pay me back. And this ain't about giving you a big grace ticket. And he says, you know what, Clyde? As a matter of fact, you're a rotten, low-down, despicable, dirty, rotten sinner. I know the very intentions of your heart. Now, see, we think, well, I'm glad he didn't say that about me. Oh, guys, he said that about Adam, which included you. We must come to that. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when we reckon that to be so, then I see a body. Ah. And this is where I'm called unto this fellowship, where Jesus gathers up all Jews and all Gentiles, and he reckons them dead in this one body by the cross. So now I can see, now when I come into this fellowship, he doesn't say, oh, Clyde, come on in. He says, Clyde, I got rid of that scoundrel 2,000 years ago at the cross. Oh, King Saul, that mean old dude, I killed him there too. And you remember old King Nebuchadnezzar? I got him there too. Old Tim, you remember that dude from Russell County? Yeah, I wiped him out too. He was a scoundrel. They was all that way. Old Saul of Tarsus, got rid of him too. I mean, did not Paul go around and say, I'm crucified with Christ? Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Christ liveth in me. Can you begin to understand that? We're called unto this fellowship. Oh, I gotta hurry. You see, we must know him as Jesus. But yet, here we got some guys that you'll see that some grow up faster than others. Right? I mean, some do. Some grow up faster than others. But you remember when they came out of Egypt and they're in the wilderness. Now, they sent 12 spies over there to spy out the land, but really what you need to see is two witnesses. Because who cares what the other 10 say, but there was a double testimony that come back and says, this is a good land. This land is flowing with milk and honey. This is a good land. We can take this land. But what happened to the church? They would not receive the witness. They wouldn't see it. Still won't. Still won't receive it. If you can hear it, this is Elijah. But he came to his own. His own received him not. If you can hear it, if you can hear this, Christ, Jesus, the Lord, lives in you, his body, now. I don't know how much more I could say that. Do you understand? I mean, we spent that time at Gilgal peeling away the you, showing you, Bethel, that you are his body. His body. Listen, guys, he has no other body. You, the church, his temple, his body here, full of him. For what purpose? To manifest him, to be a light in this dark world. Let me just hurry up. You see, and then here when they get up here to Jordan, and they're looking in this promised land, they look over into the promised land, and they send spies over there. Now there was something. As soon as they get to this promised land, there's something there. You know what it is? You know what the gateway into the promised land is? Jericho. But what is Jericho? Jericho is a walled city. A walled city that says, you ain't coming in here. We're not receiving you in here. Do you see what I'm saying? Now let me tell you this. Jericho is a walled city. Do you know what the name Jericho means? The name Jericho means moon. You know what a moon is? A moon is a reflection. Jericho is a man-made city. It's a man-made religious city. Now in this land, in this land, God's land, your soul, there's only room for one city, not two. Well, I was going to be talking about one. But in this land right now, we got Jericho. And we got Jerusalem. You see, we've been talking about this all along. Gilgal, Bethel, right here about, you remember Bethel about the one temple, tear it down, raise it up again in 3 days? We see the same thing right here with Jericho. We see the wrong city. We see a city, a walled city, that is man-made, that whose very name means reflection. In other words, what does that mean? This means this is what Jesus would do. So we're our reflections. We got our WWJD bracelets on, walking around, trying to act like Jesus. A bunch of reflections instead of living as his very body. His body is not a reflection. It's who he really is. Jericho must fall. Jericho is not to be compromised with. Jericho and all the inhabitants. Why? But you see, guys, there's one that lives in Jericho. Her name is Rahab. Rahab is the harlot. And Rahab, when she receives the spies, does she not? Let me say it this way. She receives the witness. Let me show you something here real quick. Go with me to Joshua 2. Let me just read this to you. This is so good. Verse 6. She brought them up to the roof of her house. Do you understand? This is not about order. My God Almighty. I mean, she brought them up to the top. We're talking about the head having the right spot. When she finally put the witness in the head, she hid them in the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. Do you see this order coming in every detail? And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan and to the forest. They're out here looking somewhere else for the witness, ain't they? They're out here looking everywhere else for the witness. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up on the roof. And she said unto the men, I know. Oh, here we go with this revelation. I know the Lord hath given you this land. She said, my Lord and my God, I already know. Can you, see, this is a confession, guys. When the Lord comes into your heart and you receive the witnesses in the head, you got to say, I know already. That the Lord, I know, Clyde, that this is yours. I mean, you got to come into that fact. I thought it was a partnership. You're living in the wrong city. In this city, I know that you already, the Lord has given this to you. I mean, he's the inheritor, right? All souls are mine. I know that the Lord has given this to you. And your terror is fallen upon us. Everything that's in me is looking around and it's saying, oh man, all my religion is about to be wiped out. Everything, who can stand before this mighty? Everything that I've ever learned is about to be gone. It's terrifying. And all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we had heard how the Lord had dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. And what you did unto the kings and to the Amorites. We heard of these things and our hearts did melt. But here I got a confession to make. Now I want you to swear to me, Lord. I want you to give me a true token that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren, my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And he says, our life or your lives, if you utter not this our business. And it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through a window. I wonder what that token was. That token was a red cord. I wonder what that cord was. Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge hung in view. Is that none other than the cross? And what happened? All was destroyed, but ye are dead. Harlot was dead too. Rahab the harlot was dead, but her life was hid with Christ in God behind the blood-covered cord. You see what I mean, guys? I don't. Jericho must fall. Jericho has. Let me just finish this up. I'll go right here. This is about us falling on to know the Lord. Jericho is the moon. It's the wrong city. Let me just read you this, and we'll call us quits for today. Revelation chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. You know, guys, what was wrong with Jericho? I just said it this way real fast. Well, let me ask you this. You know what was wrong with Ishmael? I mean, was Ishmael a bad guy? The reason Ishmael had to go It was because he wasn't the seed. I mean, why did Hagar have to go? Was she a bad wife? Do we read in there where she cheated on Abraham? She had to go because she wasn't the right bride. Why does Jericho? Jericho might be a good city. It's a man-made. It might be. In Jericho, they may be in there feeding the poor and having Coke ministries and everything else. But it's the wrong city. You see what I mean? It's the wrong city. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband, and a great voice out of the heavens saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. And he'll wipe away all tears. I wonder what that means, I'll wipe away all tears. Nobody's ever going to be crying in heaven. Can't cry and go to heaven. What if you get bees done? Well, there won't be no bees over there. Well, how's the flowers going to propagate? See, I mean, we can think naturally all we want. Wipe no more tears. See, in other words, guys, he's going to wipe away that old thinking. He's going to wipe away that old bondage thinking that has brought tears and stuff. We got to get out of our earthly mentality of no more heartbreak. Heartbreak has all come from we haven't set our affections on things above. He wipes all that away. No more crying, neither be any more pain. He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. He said to me, It is done. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to him that is athirst the fountain of water of life freely. Now look at verse 15. Well, look at verse 12. And here's this city having the glory of God. I'm in verse 11. And here's this, and he had a wall, great and high. Now here's a city. How many walls is in this city? Y'all little English students here, right? How many walls in this city? Let me read it again. And had a wall. Is a wall mean one? Right? So how many walls is in this city? A wall. And look at verse 14. And the wall of the city. Now how many cities? Didn't say cities, city. The wall, one wall. The city, one city. Now look at verse 17. And he measured the wall. And the measurement of this, of the wall is what? The measurement of a man. How many men? One man. How can you have a city with only one guy in it? Sounds to me like a deserted place. Right? Oh, now, but in this city, all the buildings are made of gold. Well, look at verse 18. And the building of the wall was jasper. Let me keep going. Now, we got 12 gates. Uh-oh, see, I know, fool. Pastor just read enough that we would get down to 12 gates. Now, what are you going to do with them 12 gates? Oh, Lord. Look at verse 21. Yep, had 12 gates. But each gate was of what? One pearl. Are y'all seeing? And look at that. And how many streets is in this city? Well, what street y'all gonna live on? Elm Street? Gold Street? There's one. There's one wall, one building, one gate of pearl, one tree, one river, according to the measure of one man. Guys, you can't make this natural. You can't make this natural. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple. Now, wait a minute. Paul says you are the temple, but the temple is the Lamb and the Lord God, and you were his body. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon. We don't need the reflections anymore. Why? Because we got the real thing. We have the reality of Jesus Christ living in you. For the glory of God did lighten, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Guys, in this we got one city, one tree, one street, one river, one man. Let me just show you one last verse. Hebrews 11. Listen, I promise you this is it. Hebrews 11. Verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. Now, how many walls is that? That's more than one, ain't it? Anytime you try to get into something with more than one, it's all got to go but him. By faith, the walls, plural, of Jericho fell down. But this wall is one wall, and that wall is Christ. You see what I mean? Listen. You know what's my desire, guys? I could go on and on and on and on and on. I don't know. You know, we go around. I don't know about you, but I watch people in their struggles and in their life and the ups and downs and the ebbs and the flows and the peaks and the valleys that they go through. And I see people get adjusted to it. You know what I mean? We got this term in the military. Me and Clyde were talking about post-traumatic stress syndrome. Y'all know what that is. That's where somebody has been in war or battle, and they can't function out here. So what we do is, and guys, everybody that whoever lives is going to face circumstances. It's a daily affair. You're going to face 10,000 of them today. But when you have this post-traumatic religious syndrome, how you deal with that, combative, whatever, quote 47 verses to it, and you begin to function like that. So now my whole prayer life begins, if I'm praying for Tim and God answers my prayer, I'm walking on water. I'm the best prayer around. Right? But if God doesn't answer my prayer, then what happened? Immediately I slip into, I must have done something wrong. The heavens are brass. You see what I mean? We go, and that's what we do in our religious ups and downs. Oh, we had a good service today. Somebody must come pray. Oh, we didn't see the Lord today. I mean, don't we? We need a move of the Spirit. Oh, we didn't have a move of the Spirit. And we do this in everything that we do throughout our life. And we're judging every little thing. Do you realize, guys, you're just called to this fellowship that is complete? It doesn't matter if you prayed 47 times or you didn't pray or you don't even know what prayer is. You come unto Him. Who are you thirsty? You ain't got to read 47,000 verses to read the Bible. He says, come unto me and drink. I'll give you the water free. It's free over here. You that's got no money, come and buy. Right? Here's what it'll cost you. Here's what it will cost you. Here's what it will cost you. Elisha, you can stay here if you want. As my soul liveth, and as my Lord liveth, I will not leave thee. Because you are that water. Yeah, you gave me water over here in Gilgal. You gave me water over here in Bethel. I'm sure there'll be water here in Jericho. But that's not the water that I'm looking for. I'm looking for the man who is the water of life himself. And I will not leave thee.